And good afternoon. All right, the last hour of the show on a Friday. This is when I get pretty excited for the weekend, because 1 hour from now, I get to launch headfirst into the weekend, and I'm looking forward to it, even though it's going to be stupid hot this weekend. Feel over 100 degrees. If you're going to be outside, do make sure you hydrate and do those things to keep yourself cool. This hour, I want to focus on, and we'll talk about anything you want this hour when we open up the lines, but I want to focus on the future of Louisiana seafood. We hear all the time from the seafood industry in Louisiana about the increasing challenges they face, about the difficulties they face competing with much cheaper foreign seafood. It's very evident with shrimp, with crawfish tail meat, increasingly with fish, that it's coming from overseas. And it's far less expensive, and they have trouble convincing consumers or educating consumers, one or the other or both, that the superior product is the Louisiana seafood. So yesterday, the governor signed legislation to try and increase the requirements to put some teeth into the labeling laws and to give more information to consumers so that they know when they're consuming seafood in Louisiana, where it came from. It's been required on restaurant menus and on product packaging, but even that has not worked the way that the bill's sponsors and the seafood industry had hoped it would. So what's different now? And my big fear, as inflationary pressures are so intense on consumers right now, and as our society evolves to a point where people are always looking for the best deals, where apps all the time tell us where to get the cheapest this or the cheapest that, and track prices for us and tell us where they're at compared to where they were, that as people are looking to save money, they may sacrifice the local seafood because they can get a product for less that may be inferior but keeps more money in their account. To help us understand where we're going with the laws, the challenges that the Louisiana seafood producers face, and what the future may hold, we welcome in Dr. Mike Strain, the Ag Commissioner for the great state of Louisiana. Hey, Doc.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Happy Friday to you and yours.
Thank you. What a great day for some seafood, right? Doesn't have to be Lent. Seafood's always on the menu for Friday. I had some wonderful seafood last night, some beautiful Louisiana shrimp and crabs, and I was at the Madisonville at the Maritime Museum for the crowning of the new king and queen of the Wooden Boat Festival. Our very own Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser and his wife Cher. So we had a very good time last night and celebrated with some of the finest Louisiana seafood you would ever have. Beautiful shrimp, beautiful, crabs. We are truly, truly blessed what we have here in great abundance.
Tell us what the new laws that we saw the bill signing ceremony for yesterday. How will that help to try and make sure that consumers know when the seafood they're consuming is from Louisiana and when it's from overseas?
And so the main focus of the bills is transparency. And so when you have an imported seafood product, and if there's anything on that package that would make it look, for instance, like it was from Louisiana, if it says Boudreaux's shrimp, right, and it's got a picture of a shrimp boat on it, if it is not from Louisiana, it's got a state and 30-point font on the front of the package, and we've been consistently using that to where you know. So whether, if you want to, you're going to make an honest choice, well, that's fine. That is your discretion to do so, but don't be fooled and don't be tricked and don't be thinking that you're buying Louisiana product when you are not. And so not only
so
that,
where is that Boudreaux's shrimp from with the seafood with the shrimp boat on the front? Where is that really from in this example?
It's going to be either from China or Vietnam. But the biggest countries for export are Vietnam, China, but also India. a lot coming out of India and coming out of South America. And so, you know, if you look at the big issue now with the imported India shrimp, you know, and if you look at the value of the Indian currency, the rupee, which has been devalued by over 50% in the past 5 years against the American dollar, and then they are dumping shrimp onto our markets. And so when you look at that, and, you know, in economic times, I was listening to what you were saying about people making the choice, but I truly believe that people will choose the American product, the Louisiana product, if they know that it, you know, it is from Louisiana. And so we're also pushing through our certified Louisiana programs on all of our seafoods so that when you get that seafood, it is the finest seafood again in the world. And, you know, other bills, you know, where we will be taking a hard look to make sure that there's not a commingling of seafood products. In other words, that you don't have Louisiana shrimp that are blended with foreign shrimp and then labeled as a product of Louisiana or the USA. That is illegal. And again, we will be looking for that. If it is commingled, it's going to have to clearly state on the front of the package in 30-point font that this product may contain, you know, shrimp from and whatever country it may be, whether it's China or India or whatever. And the main thing is that consumers have a choice. They have a choice, and they will not, you know, be tricked into buying the wrong product. And it goes so far as if you've got a sales counter, you know, a freezer, and on top of it, you've got, you know, pictures of Louisiana, and it, you know, and it's portraying Louisiana Gulf caught products or Louisiana crawfish, Louisiana crabs, but everything in that counter is imported. That is also a violation of the law. And you know, what we do, our inspectors will, you know, will warn you the first time, but after that, those labeling violations are significant. And the whole goal is for that the importers or the companies that are producing these products in the foreign countries go ahead and, you know, get their acts together and be very clear and upfront. So when you or your family goes to the counter to buy these products, there's no mistake, you know, where you think you're buying, you know, Gulf shrimp. Well, it is the Gulf of America or the Gulf of Mexico, whichever you choose to call it, but it's off, you know, Louisiana or Texas or Mississippi waters, not the Gulf of Tonkin. And the other thing that we are doing, we are continuing now to test imported seafood for contaminants. And as the law stood before, we are responsible for testing, and also health and hospitals can do that too. But we have a program for testing. And then when we find something, we do a cease and desist order, and health and hospitals would then be responsible for removing that product. That we had added additional authorities that our inspectors could go ahead and pick that up and get it out of commerce. And the goal is that these products are supposed to be inspected and tested before they ever leave the originating country. And we want to make sure that, you know, that nothing slips through the gaps. So we are also working for testing to make sure the product is safe that is coming in. But then also all the consumers have a choice. Now, in addition to that, we are working through our different programs, and Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser and I share responsibilities for promoting a seafood, and we've got to promote our way forward. We've got to, you know, have people that, look, it's on Friday, I'm going down and I'm going to get a shrimp po' boy, and I'm going to ask before I eat, where does this shrimp come from? Where do these crabs come from? You know, where do these oysters come from? Where are these crawfish? And if it's not, you know, a Louisiana product or, you know, our domestic product, then, you know, they may choose to eat somewhere else. And that's the only way we're going to move that forward. And look, what is amazing is that when you look at what our shrimpers are receiving for their shrimp, especially as we get towards the end of the brown shrimp season, the imports actually cost more. And so we've got to work on demand for our local products because it is brown shrimp season. But our shrimping industry is struggling. It's going to, you know, overall shrimping industry is probably going to be realistically between $35 and $50 million this year, whereas the crawfish industry is going to be over $300 million because we have turned the tide on our crawfish industry, and we've got to apply those same, you know, work technologies and things that we're doing to turn our shrimp industry around, because it is, we're losing our shrimp industry, you know, and our oyster industry, you know, they are holding on. And you know, and again, but all of our seafood industries, we have to support them. When you come to New Orleans and you go to a restaurant, you want to taste Louisiana. You want to taste our culture, our cuisine. and you want those Gulf seafood products. You want those local seafood products, because also that is about our culture. That is about, again, who we are. And, you know, those imports, and I'll be honest with you, they just don't have the flavor, the texture that our domestic seafood has. So, again, it's very important, but it's also a big part of our economy. It's also a part of our restaurant economy as well.
You know, Dr. Strain, I hear what you say, and I hear the passion in your voice, and I really appreciate that. But I have some fears, and I want you to see if you can address them, because we are going through, and you have so well told us recently about how high the inflationary pressure is on the American household, with just month over month grocery costs jumping 3% from one month to the next. And restaurants, we hear all the time, obviously, they are struggling for the same reasons, because they need to bring in groceries and raw materials to produce the menu items that they serve. And as we're facing these intense inflationary times and people are looking for any way to save money, I got to imagine that on one level, American consumers are making compromises. Louisiana consumers are making compromises. And unfortunately for our seafood industry, that may include, well, I can't afford Louisiana shrimp this month. I can't afford Louisiana catfish this month, whatever it may be. So the consumer may be compromising and trying the foreign product. Likewise, the people who do the purchasing for our restaurants, and so many restaurants, as we know, especially in the summer, and now you throw the summer downturn and the inflation on top of that, people buying the seafood for the restaurants. What if they say, well, let's see what happens if we buy foreign shrimp or foreign fish or whatever the seafood may be, and see how the consumer reacts. See if we lose money, or if we can actually save money on the front end making the purchase and then get bigger profits to help sustain us. My fear is that these things will happen enough, and the downturn to the seafood industry will be enough, that I wonder about the future of the domestic seafood industry, and particularly here in Louisiana. Are my fears unfounded?
No, your fears are not unfounded. But then again, that's why, if they are going to serve the imported products, then the consumer needs to know. You know, it's not where you're going to say, all right, this is a shrimp po' boy, and the consumer assumes that it is a domestic product when it's actually an imported product. Now, the bottom line, though, that you can buy shrimp on the docks, you know, especially when from now to the end of the season, you know, often, you know, at under $2 a pound, whereas the imports, you know, delivered are going to be $4 a pound. And so we really have to work on our industry, the way that we supply and put get those into commerce. The other part is that, you know, the majority of the seafood is consumed up through Lent, but the majority of our local domestic shrimp, like the brown shrimp, come in after Lent. And so we really got to work on a better way to store them. Our freezer space is a big part of the issue, fresh freezer space, but also having that constant demand. Now, we've done better in the crawfish industry because the way that works, you know, in around November, people are asking every day, when are the crawfish coming? You know, I don't have that same passionate phone calls coming from people asking me when the shrimp are coming. And so with the crawfish is that we sell in the live market, you know, and whatever we don't sell by Sunday, then that goes to the peelers. And then it is, you know, it's cooked, peeled, frozen, and made available. And we have significant freezer space, and that is done by, you know, there are companies that specialize in that, but also by the farmers themselves. And so we have to look, we need more cold storage space specifically for Louisiana shrimpers. We've done better with the oysters, but again, the consumer needs to know, and I will tell you, you know, wherever I go and the people, I think if they have a choice, you know, even if they got to pay a little bit more for that po' boy, they're going to want Louisiana shrimp.
Talking with the Agriculture Commissioner for the great state of Louisiana, Dr. Mike Strain. When we come back, I want to look at the other side of the equation. We've talked about trying to increase the demand through promotion. We've talked about trying to crack down on foreign imports not being labeled appropriately and the consumer not knowing what it is they're consuming. And we've talked about testing the foreign product to make sure it's safe. What about the other side of the equation? Is anything being done either to help the seafood industry domestically, deal with some of the challenges they're facing from dumping of cheaper foreign product or costs of operation? And is it being considered legislatively to put bigger tariffs or taxes on the imported product to make the playing ground more level? We'll ask Dr. Strain about that. And I want to hear from you at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers talk and text line. Do you share my fear that we may be moving to a place where we have a much smaller Louisiana seafood industry and it caters only to those people who can afford to pay more and don't mind paying more for what is largely agreed as a superior product? Or are we looking at potentially some parts of the Louisiana seafood industry going away to a point where they ain't there no more? I want to hear from you, 504-260-1870. Back with Dr. Strain after this on WWL. Text comes in. I'm not proud of this, but I'll admit it. I buy the cheap crawfish a lot. Everything is so expensive. And that's the battle that the Agriculture Commissioner for Louisiana, Dr. Mike Strain, is facing, along with the Louisiana seafood industry and so many others, trying to give Louisiana seafood producers the opportunity to compete and to survive. Dr. Strain, we talked in the last segment about how you're trying to do a better job promoting Louisiana seafood, trying to put some more teeth in the laws so that when we go to a restaurant, we go to a seafood market, when we go to a grocery store, we know right there where the seafood really comes from so we can make an educated decision. Is anything being done on the other end in terms of legislation that would make it more competitive by making the foreign product have to pay additional fees to get into this country or to pay for the testing that you and others have to do, or anything else on the supply side at this time?
So a number of things. First of all, the USDA has now created the Office of Seafood. So seafood is moving to the USDA and away from customs and the other agencies, Department of Natural Resources. So that is a big deal now, where seafood would be looked at and treated, and especially on domestic seafood production, like other agricultural crops. With that, there are a number of different things that kicks in. First of all, like infrastructure support. And so working with our USDA Office of Rural Development, so there are many different programs that are going to be developed. One, such as, you know, loan programs, hopefully value-added producer grant programs. If you remember, a number of years ago, we got sufficient money to put the refrigeration on the oyster boats. That was a big deal. Also, working on marketing and other things through the USDA. And so, addition, looking at marketing international trade, the president issued an executive order dealing with seafood. And one is looking at marketing and trade marketing practices, looking at, you know, and make sure other countries aren't dumping. And those that are dumping would be subject to tariffs to rectify that. And so workforce development and also a seafood inspection program, that's a big deal under the Food Safety Modernization Act. The seafood that is coming to the United States is supposed to be inspected by a third-party accredited inspector system in the country of where it is originating. Also, R&D, research and development. So those are some major big-ticket items that are going through working with the federal government, who has the ability, to put additional dollars into the entire seafood industry. You know, so we work in all the other commodities. But traditionally, with the exception of catfish, there's not been programs through the USDA for such things as, you know, shrimp, crawfish, oysters, crabs. Catfish many years ago was transferred to the USDA, and that has really helped our catfish industry. But again, by a presidential order, and again, to look at and to strengthen and make more viable all of our markets. And so that is all dealing, again, with the USDA and the Secretary of Commerce and NOAA to try to find ways to facilitate and assist our farmers. Because I will tell you, with diesel over $5 a gallon, it is difficult for our shrimpers, you know, to go out and bring that catch in into port. That is a very difficult thing. And it's just like the pressures under all aspects of agriculture now because of high input costs and, you know, fairly stagnant prices that the farmers receive for the products. You wouldn't believe that. You wouldn't think that, you know, with the cost of groceries and things that you're seeing in the grocery store, but the farmers actually are receiving less for their crops now than they did 5 years ago and costing them more to produce it. And so we are working on many of those things at the same time. And then additional testing, I think we're going to have a sufficient level of testing for antibiotics and adulterants in those products. But the big push is by under the federal government through the Food Safety Modernization Act that these products be inspected and all of them inspected and tested and not have, you know, anything, any rogue product try to sneak into the United States. And, you know, we are, again, that's why if we find it, we test it, it's got antibiotic contamination or any other contamination, it will be seized and destroyed. It will not be sent back where it can come into another port and try to get through the system.
Yeah, it sounds like this is being addressed on every conceivable front, that you're looking at every angle on how to inform the consumer, help the producer, level the playing field, and make sure everything is safe as some of the core principles of making this happen.
Yeah,
and we have to be hopeful. We have to be hopeful that that all helps and that all works. But at the same time, you know, you talk about the inflationary pressures and the economic pressures on the farmers who are producing this seafood. And we hear consistently about a dwindling number of people who are getting into seafood farming and fishing and catching, and that the children of shrimpers for generations after generations are less interested in following in their parents' footsteps than perhaps in the generations of the past. And it just has me wondering, you know, if all of this cannot be successful, if it hasn't come soon enough, what does the future look like? And do we end up with a niche market? Obviously, there's always going to be demand for the local product. But at what level, I guess, will be the question. And will it become something that's very niche that is not such a big part of our economy in the future?
Well, that's the thing. We have to turn the tide, and it's like turning the Titanic. And if you look at what we've done for beef, you know, beef, it's what's for dinner. That was the most successful advertising program of any food commodity in the history of the United States, and it was very successful. All the work that we've done to promote crawfish has been very successful. The work we're doing to promote catfish has been successful. So we have to promote our way forward. We have to really change the culture and the mindset of the consumer. And then, you know, that helps put things in the proper direction. Also, you know, to prohibit, you know, the federal government from buying imported product and putting it into our schools should be domestic. There needs to be, you know, a domestic priority. There's one bill going through the Congress right now that would allow more local food purchases for our food programs for the schools. And that would allow us and, you know, and the other entities to buy local shrimp, local produce, and that sort of thing, and put those directly into the school systems. So buying the products that we're going to buy anyway and putting that into our schools, again, that will help many. So it's many different aspects. But the bottom line, you know, in the seafood industry, just like in general agriculture, you know, the average age of our farmers is now, you know, around 59 to 60. That is a big deal. And the cost of going into farming or food production is very high, and we have to stabilize that, because if not, we will meet greater challenges in the future. We're not going to turn this on a dime, but the exciting thing is that now, you know, many of us, you know, our legislative allies, you know, my office, the governor's office, lieutenant governor's office, everyone, we have a full court press to try to reinvigorate our seafood industry along with all other aspects of agriculture. And so, and we're going to be doing that for many, many, many different ways. But the main thing is that, you know, we're going to put all this out there, and then we really need the consumers to join us as we move the seafood back forward. You know, if you go back 30 years, you know, the shrimp industry was king. Crawfish industry was very small. Now the crawfish industry is very large and the shrimp industry is dwindling. So we have to look and understand how those things happened, and we have to really lift up our seafood industry, you know, lift up our shrimp industry as well, along with our crabs and oysters and everything else. And this is going to take a continued effort over a number of years. There's no quick fix, but all of us working from many directions together can make this happen, as well as the availability for value-added producer grants. That is a big deal, you know, where we can, you know, try to get some processing facilities there, and particularly enough cold storage space that at the end of the season we have a place to go with the Louisiana shrimp, as so they can be consumed again from August, September, October, as we're going in and before Lent.
You know, I wish you all of the luck in the world in turning this Titanic, as you described it, because it really would be a very, very sad day in Louisiana if we see when the shrimp industry is on life support and is threatening to disappear in our state, along with our oysters and our crabs and our fish and our crawfish and everything else, because it really is so crucial. It's the things of art and song. And it's the things of wonderful meals. And yeah, it really is. And it does feel like we're on the precipice here of a cliff that we could fall off of. And if you can't turn that Titanic in time, I really do fear for the future. But I want to be hopeful because they got people like you, and you've drawn so many allies into this fight that you can turn that, you can be successful, and that the people will jump on board and support this effort and think that it's worth it. Anything else you want to share for us before, with us before we let you run?
Well, it's an exciting time here in Louisiana. You know, it's springtime going into summer, so many fairs and festivals. And so, you know, we really encourage everybody just to go out and taste and see and enjoy the wonderful things that we have. I will tell you, I've traveled to many foreign countries within the past year, and we are truly blessed to live here in the United States. And, you know, when I get back from some of these foreign countries and I walk into one of our modern grocery stores, you know, it really touches your heart, you know, to know how much we have and how little others have. But we have to protect that. We have to protect that at all costs to make sure that we have, you know, affordable food that's healthy, that is nutritious, and that it is safe. And the other thing is that
and that tastes
know,
great.
Legislative, yeah, what's that?
And that tastes great.
tastes great because look, we have some of the finest chefs in the whole wide world. But we're also excited that we now have so many allies, our legislative allies, and all other aspects of the administration here, all pulling the same direction, along with our shrimpers and our seafood. You know, all of our fishers and farmers, everyone's pulling in the same direction, and the restaurants are working hard. We want to promote it. And again, at the end of the day, we're going to have to earn our way forward and promote our way forward. And that's exciting. It's also fun. So look, go out and have that shrimp po' boy today, right? Whether you like Risings or Leidenheimer's French bread, right? Fully dressed with a little Tabasco mayonnaise and a great big box, right?
And ask if it's Louisiana shrimp. There you go.
No doubt.
All right. So now we got to come up with, you said beef, it's what's for dinner, turned around the beef industry. We know the incredible edible egg was a wildly successful campaign. What's the slogan going to be for Louisiana seafood, specifically maybe for shrimp? We'll throw that out there and let our listeners chew on that and give us some suggestions. Dr. Strain, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Take care. God bless.
Mike Strain, the Agriculture Commissioner for the great state of Louisiana. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. All right. Do you think it's doable? Can the Titanic be turned? Or will the economic pressures and the economic realities, no matter how much people know where their seafood is coming from, no matter how much restaurants have to, and seafood markets have to, and grocery stores have to tell us where the seafood is coming from, will that convince enough people to pay more for the local product during these tough economic times? The people who buy the stuff for the restaurants are increasingly taking the risk that they can serve foreign seafood because they need to cut costs too to stay in business. Is it doable? Can this Titanic be turned, as Dr. Strain said? And what's the slogan? Beef, it's what's for dinner. He says the most successful agricultural campaign ever. Incredible edible egg. What's the slogan for Louisiana shrimp? 504-260-1870. Call me, text me now. We'll put you on the radio right after this. Eat Louisiana shrimp, live better. That's one person's text of a suggestion for a new slogan. You heard Dr. Mike Strain a moment ago saying that we need to do a better job promoting Louisiana seafood and specifically Louisiana shrimp. And he said that beef, it's what's for dinner, was the most successful agricultural campaign in history. And we need something like that for shrimp. So, like the Incredible Edible Egg was also a very successful campaign. I'm asking you for slogans to help promote Louisiana shrimp, as the industry really is struggling, and I fear could eventually all but disappear because of all of the challenges it's facing. One person says, "Don't miss me, Louisiana shrimp me." Somebody else says, "Louisiana shrimp, go get some, G-E-A-U-X. Another person says, "Don't skimp on your shrimp, buy local." And then there's this text at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. "Eat some shrimp from Louisiana. You won't go limp." Someone else texted about the popularity of soccer and pointed out something that last hour when we were discussing why it struggles in America that we didn't talk about. It said America hates soccer. Our American TV hates soccer because there's no room for commercials. And I think you've got a very good point there. Remember, the reason that football has the multi-hundreds of billions of dollars in contracts, and baseball, and basketball, and even hockey, and NASCAR. NASCAR just takes breaks because obviously they're not going to stop the race to take commercial breaks. But that is a challenge and has been in NASCAR. They face the same challenge in soccer. In football, there are mandated TV timeouts. They call them that, TV timeouts. So they can stop the action and show commercials. They have the seventh inning stretch in baseball, and there's changes in sides between innings. Basketball also has required timeouts, and it's separated into quarters. So there are built-in stoppages of play. And without commercials, you can't have televised or radio broadcast sports. If there's no way to make money off of it, if you can't play commercials during it, you're right. That's a real challenge. And soccer was going to have to consider if they want to change fundamentally the way soccer is played in terms of timing to allow for commercial breaks. I think if they ever do want to be the multi-billion dollar sport that these others are. Thank you for the text. You can talk about anything this hour at 504-260-1870. Call me now. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll get you on the air. 504-260-1870. Call me now on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. I'd like to hear more of your suggestions for a new slogan to help promote Louisiana shrimp and save the Louisiana shrimp industry before it becomes a cottage industry that caters only to wealthy people who choose to pay more for it, like escargot. Escargot is never going to be a massive, successful industry. Is Louisiana shrimp going to go the way of escargot? I don't know. I think the writing's on the wall, and they better do something fast to turn that Titanic. Otherwise, it may not be there anymore for the vast majority of us. One person did text us and say, "It's really unbelievable the difference in price between the local and the imported product." They say that they were shopping at a grocery store the other day, and the foreign crawfish meat was $10 more per pound than the Louisiana. I mean, the foreign was $10 less per pound than the Louisiana product. Dollars talk. They really do. Another person says, "Why can't the Louisiana legislature impose a tax or tariff on imported seafood?" Well, the Congress is the body that's supposed to impose taxes and tariffs. We just had that reestablished by the U.S. Supreme Court. The president has found some ways to issue tariffs on his own. But ultimately, that's a role of the United States Congress, not the Louisiana legislature. Want to hear from you? 504-260-1870. We're back with open lines after this. Louisiana seafood is you and me food. That's one person's suggestion for a new slogan to help promote Louisiana seafood as the industry is struggling. Dr. Mike Strain said, "Beef, it's what's for dinner," is a great example of how you can turn an industry around. A very successful marketing campaign. The Incredible Edible Egg, another. Somebody else texted in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line at 504-260-1870. "Don't skimp on our shrimp. Shrimp, the best white meat." Somebody else says, "Don't be an import wimp. Only eat Louisiana shrimp." And somebody else says, "If it ain't Louisiana shrimp, it just won't taste as good." Keep the slogan suggestions coming. Somebody else, though, admitted, "I do not have a discriminating palate. I can't tell the foreign product apart from the Louisiana product. I know a lot of people who insist they can and who absolutely say they taste the difference. Do you? Another text says it's really unbelievable how pathetic the American public is that they would not be outraged by the fact that they would be served foreign shrimp with potential antibiotics and God knows what else added to it and not fight for our local shrimp industry. I just don't understand. Well, I understand it. I don't like it, but I understand it. It's all about money. It's all about affordability. And it's all about people looking out for where they can and how they can make compromises. I think most people understand they're compromising if they eat foreign seafood, that they are getting a inferior product, that it's a product that will not taste as good. But I think, and we're seeing this, the numbers don't lie, more and more people are willing to make that sacrifice. I think it's a similar sacrifice, unfortunately, to people buying store brands over name brands. It's a similar sacrifice to people buying smaller quantities of things that they love, because right now inflation is killing us. Costs are destroying our personal economies, and it's costing so much more for everything that sadly many people are making the decision that they're going to consume the less expensive foreign seafood. And maybe a marketing campaign can help turn that around. Maybe better testing and finding if there are great dangers in consuming the foreign seafood will help. And so many of the other steps that Mike Strain said they're taking to try and turn the Titanic, as the seafood industry really is, especially with shrimp, is on life support. It's getting tougher and tougher and tougher. And with the average age of a shrimper now over 60, it may not matter much longer. Because if we don't fix the industry and no one wants to get into doing it, there are going to be so few people shrimping that it's going to become, just by virtue of that, a product that is harder and harder to find and costs more and more. That's the boat we're in, folks, like it or not. And I hope that we can turn it around, because I do agree that shrimping and seafood are a hugely important part of our culture and our economy here in Louisiana. And it would be very sad if it cannot survive. I'm Dave Cohen. I hope you have a great weekend. I've enjoyed the last 3 hours with you here on WWL. Scoot is up next. Scoot, what you got for us today?
Well, have you ever wondered why Taylor Swift is such a Knicks fan? I mean, man, she just looked like this was her face. It looked like her boyfriend played for the Knicks. But we know
I understand why she's a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, that's why she was so excited. So we've got the explanation of why Taylor Swift is such a Knicks fan. That I know this is just such a pressing question that we have to answer it.
I've been up staying up all night wondering.
All right. Plus, we're going to talk about the UFC fight, World Cup, and the Knicks and the Spurs tomorrow night.
Scoot is up next, folks. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday morning at 5 a.m.